necessary to do that. At the same time, as we celebrate that kind of freedom, we also acknowledge today as Christians that God has made a decisive action for us. And that's the action that He took when He brought Jesus Christ into the world and into our lives. Paul said it this way in Galatians 5. Christ has set us free. This means we are really free. Now hold on to your freedom and don't ever become slaves of the law again. You see, inherent to that verse is an awareness that when you're set free by Christ, it means you're not free before Christ, right? I mean, to be receivers of Christ, to have the freedom that Christ brings, to have the exclamation point there that Paul makes, to say, look, Christ has set you free. If Christ has set you free, then there was a time you weren't free. This morning, I want to spend some time talking about the actions of others and the freedoms that others have achieved for us by their actions in terms of our nation, but equally to receive the freedom that God brings to us that's without compare. So if you're ready, let's try to make some observations this morning. Let me start by, many of you have been to Washington, D.C.? Been out there? One of my favorite towns. Love being out there. I don't know if you've been downtown and you've looked at the Capitol, but do you know what sits up on the Capitol Dome up on top? Ah, next time you're there, you got to look. There is a beautiful lady sitting on top of the Capitol Dome. It's called the Freedom Lady. It's a statue of a woman that stands nearly 20 feet tall, and it has a crest of stars around her face and a shield of stars and stripes in her left hand. The Freedom Lady statue was placed on top of the Capitol in 1863. Now, what's interesting behind it is the story of the Freedom Lady getting to that position. The sculpture was done in Rome, and it was shipped to America aboard a sailing ship. Sometime after the ship left port and they were out at sea, a huge storm came up and threatened to overwhelm the ship. So much so that the captain ordered that the crew should start throwing cargo overboard to lighten the ship. So, of course, the crew happily obeyed, and they were throwing cargo overboard to preserve their life. And the crew then came to the captain and asked for permission to throw the sculpture overboard, to throw Freedom Lady overboard. It's reported the captain said these words, "No, never. We'll flounder before we throw freedom away. We'll flounder before we throw freedom away." Good words for us to remember as we think about the heritage as citizens in this country that's brought us to this weekend when we can, you know, get together for more than just, you know, backyard barbecues and some firecrackers, but to be knowledgeable and aware and conscious of the sacrifice that others made in order for us to be able to celebrate this freedom. What I'd like to do is talk for a minute about that freedom that we have as citizens and the way it seems God would design that freedom. First, it seems scripturally that we enjoy freedom in this nation especially that is a freedom of. In 1787, the Constitution was sent to the states to be ratified. And as the people in the states worked through this ratification process, there became a desire for a guarantee of some specific freedoms, some specific rights. And so as a result of this process, the Bill of Rights was penned, and they became the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. And the Bill of Rights, of course, are those 10 amendments that guarantee freedom of, right? Freedom of. Freedom of religion. Freedom of the press. Freedom of speech. Freedom of peaceable assembly, and on and on and on. That they are the action of government to guarantee to the citizens a freedom of. And it's the responsibility then of the government to ensure that as time passes, as generations go by, as life changes and culture moves forward, that it continually expresses the responsibility for preserving the freedom of. If we try to find some biblical support for that, some biblical awareness of that, we can go into the scripture and read the Apostle Paul in Romans 13. In Romans 13, Paul talks about the responsibility of government and where it comes from. He says in Romans 13, "Obey the rulers who have authority over you. Only God can give authority to anyone. And he puts these rulers in their places of power. People who oppose the authorities are opposing what God has done, and they will be punished. Rulers are a threat to evil people, not to good people. There is no need to be afraid of the authorities. Just do right, and they will praise you for it. After all," now notice this verse, "after all, they are God's servants, and it is their duty to help you. If you do something wrong, you ought to be afraid, because these rulers have the right to punish you. They are God's servants who punish criminals to show how angry God is. But you should obey the rulers because you know it is the right thing to do, and not just because of God's anger." Now, did you catch in there what the role of government is? You notice it says there in the fourth verse, "After all, they are God's servants." And later on, in the few verses or a few sentences down, it says, "They are God's servants." What is government? It is God's servant. It's supposed to be a servant of God. It's supposed to be that which guarantees freedom of. It's supposed to be that which maintains the opportunity for God's people to experience the freedom of being His people. The freedom of. Government has the responsibility then to work in our lives in a way that is helpful to us in expressing, in experiencing those freedoms of, because they are God's servant. It is their duty to help us. So government is set into place by God. It's set into place to help maintain some of that freedom, to maintain the responsibility for the freedoms of. Make sense? Now, you could be careful here, because you could read Paul's passage in Romans 13 and you could say, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor. It sounds to me like Paul is saying there is absolutely no time when we should ever revolt against the government. And if that's the case, then our founding fathers must have done something unbiblical because they revolted against the King of England." Well, here's the way Thomas Jefferson defined that relationship. Jefferson said, "Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of the ends, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government." What's he saying? Well, when any government stops becoming a government that preserves the freedom of, when it stops becoming a government that becomes that which is God's servants, then it's time to change. Because we need to be consistent with God, and government needs to be consistent with God. They are God's servants. Servants must maintain the will of the master. So it is with government. It is there to ensure the freedoms of, that we celebrate, that freedom of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Now, the problem for government is the same problem that it is for us. And that is, government, like us, has the temptation towards selfishness. Do you remember we've talked about selfishness before, right? And we spell it out with one simple word called sin. And how do you spell sin? S, big I, little n, me in the middle of everything, right? When government becomes selfish, just like us, then we step out of the role of being God's servant and we become self-serving, correct? When we step out of the role of being God's servants and step into that temptation of being self-serving, we cross the boundaries and we cease to become that for which God has chosen us to be. Government is there to be that which guarantees freedom of. Now, the temptation for government, the temptation for us, is to fall into that selfishness. When we fall into the selfishness as citizens, we move into a phase that I call freedom from. Freedom from. Freedom from is forgetting our responsibility to preserve the freedom of. It's forgetting our responsibility, like we saw in the people who have gone before us, in the sacrifices they made and the willingness that they dedicated themselves to preserve freedom. When we forget that responsibility we have for preserving the freedom of, and instead we translate freedom into freedom from. Freedom from for us looks like, well, Judges 21. It's not a new disease. It's old. Judges 21. In those days, Israel wasn't ruled by a king. There was no government. Israel wasn't ruled by a king. And everyone did what? Whatever they wanted, right? Whatever they thought was right. Whatever they wanted. You see, we can fall into the temptation as citizens of a government to say, you know what? We're just not going to pay attention. We're going to do whatever we want. That we can take freedom and translate it, instead of being freedom of, to freedom from. I'm free to just do whatever I want to do. I'm free to experience life however I want to experience life. I'm free, and there should be no restraints on my freedom. But if you remember the verses from Paul in Romans, the government's responsibility is to put appropriate restraints. The government's responsibility is to restrain the chaos, to restrain the sin that goes on out there in the world. We're not free to just go down to the bank on Port Washington Road, so like some guys did, I guess, this last week, and make a withdrawal by force. We're not free to just do whatever we want because it makes us happy. Paul said, if you do something wrong, you ought to be afraid because these rulers have the right to punish you. What is government supposed to do? Not only preserve our freedom of, but in preserving the freedom of, they are to preserve the freedom from. The expression of selfishness that says, I can do whatever I want. Government is God's gift to us to control the chaos of selfishness and to allow for freedom of. Freedom of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay, that's kind of the celebration of the 4th of July, right? That's the celebration of understanding that we are a people in this land, what an incredible place it is to live, and we've got that freedom of, and we can avoid the freedom from. But for we Christians, we who gather in this room this morning, there's something even greater that we can celebrate. And we celebrate that not just on the 4th of July weekend, but we celebrate it every Sunday and we celebrate it every day in our own personal lives. And that's a freedom for. A freedom for. Gospel of John says, if the Son gives you freedom, you are free. Notice the exclamation point. Same experience as what Paul was saying to us, right? That if the Son sets you free, you are really free. And the assumption is that there was a time in our life when we weren't free. When we were somehow in bondage. And the understanding is that when Christ comes into our life, then we experience a real freedom. And this is a freedom that the government cannot provide us. And it's a freedom that the government cannot restrain. It's a freedom the government has no power to influence. It is a freedom that elevates us above land or geography or nation. It is a freedom that comes from our personal relationship with Christ. And nothing else can govern that but our hearts and our relationship with Christ itself. As we look at that freedom, there's some principles I'd like to lay out in front of you this morning. Around that freedom that we can express. Number one is a freedom faith principle that says God is in control. That freedom that we celebrate acknowledges that we have something more than just being people who live in this land. We have a God who has been from the beginning and will be always to the end. And this God is in control. He is above all rulers. He is above all kings. He is above all nations. And the freedom that he brings cannot be contained. Isn't it fascinating? You look back into the history of the church and you look at those times when government tried to restrain the church. So you go back to the early church and you remember that guy named Caesar? Was he perhaps a pretty powerful guy in his day? Yeah, absolutely, right? He was, for himself, thought to be God, right? Pretty powerful guy. And when he decided he was going to try to wipe out this thing called Christianity, amazingly, Christianity flourished. When government tried to destroy it, the freedom that the people of God knew elevated above even the power of government. The book of Revelation says, "May kindness and peace be yours from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Jesus was the first to conquer death, and he is the ruler of all earthly kings. Christ loves us, and by his blood he set us free from our sins." See, we celebrate a freedom that's not measured by land or geography. It is measured simply by the incredible grace of God. That in Christ we have a freedom that says whatever happened yesterday is yesterday. And we're free to be a forgiven people who can live for tomorrow. That we're free to be a people who rise above and elevate above all of those weaknesses of our past. It is a freedom that infuses our hearts, and it infuses our souls, and it infuses our spirits, and it says no matter what happens in life, we are free in Christ! Exclamation point. Freedom principle number two. It's the freedom faith principle that says we are then free to achieve. We're free to achieve. We're free. We are empowered to elevate our lives above. We're free to go ahead and elevate our lives above and have a purpose and a meaning and a direction that goes beyond even being citizens of a particular country. It's to be the people that God wants us to be. Galatians 5, Paul says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these." See, these can't be governed by any government. These are ours. And we are free to express those realities in our life every single day. They can't be governed. They can't be influenced. They're ours. They're elevating our life so that we rise above the situation or the circumstances of whatever's going on. And we're just free. We're free. And there's no influence in the world that can rob us of those things. There's no power in the world that can rob us of those realities in our life. We are free. And because we're free to be the person that God wants us to be. Young people, listen up. You're enjoying a great summer, but you're going to go back into that school environment. When you go back there in that school environment, there's going to be all kinds of pressures that come upon you. You need to remember from day one, you walk in that door, you are a free person. And there is nothing in that school that can put you into bondage. There's no pressure from other peer groups. There's no pressure from, you know, other situations that may occur. You are a free person to do what Christ wants you to do. And that's the freedom that he gives you. And nobody else can govern that. And nobody else can steal that. You have a freedom to be the person that God wants you to be. Freedom, faith principle number three. It means also then we are free to proclaim. We are free to proclaim. Any of you seen the Liberty Bell? No, some of you know. Darn it, huh? Yeah, you should get there and see the Liberty Bell. The crack's still there. What's cool about the Liberty Bell is if you do a little history on the Liberty Bell and just go there and you look at it, there's an inscription on the Liberty Bell. And the inscription on the Liberty Bell comes from Leviticus 25. So we can see right away in our country's early history, this infusion of faith and the role of faith in freedom was right there from the beginning. It comes from Leviticus 25. The whole verse that is this, the whole origin of the verse is starting at verse 10. It says, "Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you." Now the words that are written, inscribed on the Liberty Bell are, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." See, the early fathers understood that the freedom that they were establishing in this land was a freedom to be shared. And the truth for us is, as people of God, we have an incredible freedom. A freedom without measure, and it's a freedom to be proclaimed. In July 8, 1776, they rang the Liberty Bell to call the folks to the center of the town for the first reading of the Declaration of Independence. For us, the inscription that's on the Liberty Bell kind of rings out for us today, not just as citizens in the country, but it rings out for us as citizens of God to say we have a freedom to be able to share with other people, that we've got a freedom that other folks need to hear and know about, that there's a lot of people out in our world today who are living that freedom from, just living life the way they want to live it and following that wide path to destruction. And we know there is a freedom that we can share with them. Romans 3, Paul says it this way, "God treats everyone alike. He accepts people only because they have faith in Jesus Christ. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Who? All of us. Did you see that? "But God treats us much better than we deserve. And because of Christ Jesus, He freely accepts us and sets us free." See that? Free from our sins. We have a freedom that can be celebrated not only as a freedom in this land with fireworks and all the celebrations of the weekend, but we have a freedom. We have a freedom that says whoever we were yesterday is not real today, because today I'm free to be the person that Jesus Christ wants me to be. Today I am free to be that person that Jesus Christ dreamed me to be. Today I am free to share that person with somebody else so they can discover that same freedom. Now what's interesting is that freedom that we have to proclaim as Christians is the freedom that our government needs. It's the freedom that our government needs in order to be preserved. George Washington understood that. George Washington, you've heard of him, right? I mean, you know him? I mean, not personally, but you know about him? Yeah. Was he an important guy in the beginning? Yeah. So, important guy, kind of knew what he was talking about. Here's what he said. "It is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible. Of all dispositions and habits that lead to political prosperity, our religion and morality are indispensable supporters." What did he understand? The freedom that we know as God's own people is a freedom our country needs to know. If our country is going to be preserved in the freedoms of, it's because we are free in proclaiming the freedom that we know in Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility as the people of God. It's our task as the people of God to proclaim that freedom into the lives of other people. And as they become free in Christ, so our land gets improved. So our nation gets improved. So our life gets improved as a people who live in this particular place. They are inseparable, indispensable supporters one of the other. As we celebrate the weekend and we celebrate the freedom as a nation, don't forget to celebrate the freedom you have. The freedom you have to be claimed by Jesus Christ. And to be able to come to the table this morning and eat bread and drink wine and hear Jesus whisper to you once again, you are free, and your sins are forgiven. To hear him whisper to you again, you are free. You are free to be everything that I dreamed you to be. Let's pray this morning. Father, we do come.